morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. All right, we're on air now.
Okay.
So we started out with a technical glitch this morning, which is fairly rare. And right now our website has a technical glitch, so if it's hard to go to. The best thing to do is go to our webpage, and we'll have information about today's show up on the webpage, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Karen, you want to introduce our guest? She's been on the show a bunch of times, both in person and calling in.
Yeah, our guest today is Diane Post, who's an Arizona lawyer, sort of constitutional, social justice, women's area. She's worked as a lawyer for a variety of different Arizona nonprofits, dealing with all kinds. We've had her on years ago talking in person about issues about private prisons. We've had her on women's rights issues. She writes the newsletter for the Arizona chapter of the National Organization of Women. She's a lawyer right now working with the Secular Coalition for Arizona. So she's done all kinds of work in the areas of immigration, of social justice, women's rights, being involved with lobbying at the legislature on all these issues. So
the prison work, I think, was important. Yeah. The private prisons that she helped bring to the public attention.
So we've got a whole bunch of different background. But what we thought we might start out this morning is talking about the Arizona legislature.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right now, the legislature, they pass the budget. The governor signed a budget. Normally, that's just about the last thing they do before they adjourn until January. But this year, they took themselves a two-week vacation, and they're coming back into session this week, which is something really different. So we know, if you were on our show and listened to us with Senator Mitzi Epstein, one issue they have left unfinished is an issue regarding transportation tax in Maricopa County for public transportation. But beyond that, we don't really know what they're planning to do, and there's all kinds of wild rumors about what might happen with the rest of this legislative session, including the fact that they may sort of stay in session till October.
Oh, my.
So what can you tell us about all of that, Diane?
Yeah, because that's a frightening idea, given the Constitution, I guess you'd say, of the legislature. Diane?
Diane, are you there?
Have we lost her?
Was.
There you are.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't hear you for a second.
We threw it to you, and we didn't hear anything. So it's that kind of morning.
But technical issues on our end.
Welcome to the show, and the question we're asking is if you didn't hear, was what Karen was asking was...
No, I heard.
Oh, you did? Okay, go ahead.
All right, so start over again. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Just go ahead and tell us what you think the legislature might be doing when they come back after their, several-week vacation.
Okay, well, first off, I thought we were talking about the reasons why they might be doing
it. Oh, and the reasons, too, yeah.
And the first rumor that I heard was they wanted to prevent Katie Hobbs from making any executive orders while they were gone.
Ah.
So if she were to issue an executive order about something they didn't like, if they are not in session, there's nothing they can do about it, because to be called back into session, she has to call them. But if they're still in session, then they can meet and try to overturn an executive order. They may or may not be able to, but they can try anyway. So that was the original reason that I heard why they didn't want to adjourn. But now I've heard a second reason: to prevent her from appointing directors to the state agencies.
Yeah, because for people who are following, a lot of the people she's nominated to head state agencies have been turned down by the Republicans, often for very strange reasons. The most recent one was Senator Martin Quezada, who ran for treasurer last time. He's been on our radio program. She wanted to appoint him to head the Registrar of Contractors. And they denied him because he's too liberal a Democrat, and how being a liberal Democrat on social issues has anything to do with taking care of contractors in Arizona, I don't understand. But
that wasn't what they said.
Yeah.
They said he was racist.
Oh, I hadn't heard that part.
They accuse him of being anti-Semitic because of something that was posted somewhere. So this is really the pot calling the kettle black. Because to call Martin Quezada a racist is, you know, has absolutely zero basis in fact.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they're using. That's what they're saying. Why he should not be appointed.
I think they think he's a danger politically. He can go somewhere, and so they're trying to preemptively blacken his reputation and keep him from getting any posts in after losing the run for treasurer. We've had him on. I think he's a great candidate, and I think that has some motivation, Diane.
Well, and he's also won the Best Debater Award in the Senate for several years running because he knows how to debate these notions and to win a debate. And that's what they don't want, is effective people to run the government.
That's not in their interest, right?
It's
not in their interest to have Hobbs's administration work.
Right.
Yeah. And to be visibly better than the Republican administration in terms of the personnel and in terms of policy, just the organization of the governor's office.
Correct. So if they can prevent her from appointing directors, then that will stymie her ability to run the government the way that she wants to. But if they're not in session, then she can appoint them.
I see. And does she have any way to respond to this?
Yes, she can appoint them as deputy directors and leave the position open.
That's
what I would do.
Yeah.
But is there any way to, I don't know, retaliate, but I mean to, once the Republicans up the thing, they're actually going to stay in session just to keep the governor from doing things. I mean, that's a pretty astonishing thing to want to do. But it is kind of politically understandable, I guess. Is there anything she can do about that?
If there is, I don't know about it.
Okay.
Now, I also want to mention the problems of them staying in session.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and Karen, you mentioned this earlier, that the bills that have been signed do not go into effect until 90 days after signing die. So those bills could, if they don't sine die until October, those bills don't go into effect till January.
And for the benefit of anybody listening, the sine die is sort of the official term for the day the legislature says we're adjourned until January. Yeah.
And legally, that's a big deal, but it is a technical term that folks might not know out there.
Yeah. And
so the bills don't go in effect is one thing. Second thing is, legislators cannot start working on next year's bills until they're out of session. So if you're trying to put together your agenda for next term, you can't. And waiting until October is rather late to be getting together your stakeholder groups and your drafting and all of that for next year's bill.
Yeah, because we all know what happens when they draft bills in a hurry.
Yeah.
There's always some. Then they have to come back the following year and correct all the mistakes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the third problem is you cannot fundraise or campaign. This is not an election year, but if somebody wanted to fundraise for their upcoming campaign, you know, in another year, they can't do any of that while they're still in session.
Ah, interesting.
So all of that actually hurts them and the public. And the biggest thing also is they continue to get per diem.
At a much lower rate.
Which
starts to put and possibly pressure and become financially difficult for, you know, those rural legislators who come from a great distance.
Especially for the rural legislators, But they still do continue to get paid even though it is a lower rate, So there are problems for this, and whether they go through with it or not, I don't know. But this is one of the problems of having such a reckless majority party that is able to call the shots.
Yeah. It's an example of breaking the system, pushing the edges of the system in order to get something in your favor, but doing something that's kind of against tradition in Arizona. But they're certainly probably willing to do it. I think you're right. It's going to be a calculation of whether it's really in their interest or not. And I think that, you've put out good arguments for both sides of staying in or calling the session over.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, Arizona, there's enough government departments in Arizona that have had issues over the past that one wonders how long some of them can continue without an actual person who says, the buck stops on my desk, I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
How that affects, agencies, which, like the Department of Child Services and some of these other agencies where the abilities of the director have made such a difference.
Yes,
over time, where some of these, we all know some government agencies have senior level bureaucrats and they'll just take along fine. But that's not going to be true of every single agency in the state, and all of those have direct financial and implications on somebody.
Absolutely.
If they don't have people getting the work done in a timely fashion to get payments out or repayments to people or inspections or whatever it is that their department is doing.
Yeah.
The other problem is the governor's not going away. She's going to be there for 4 years. I mean, next year is not going to be that different from this year. I mean, she's still going to veto all the crazy bills, and they're going to have to negotiate with her if they want things done.
And it's going to be the same Republicans, too. Nothing, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a repeat of this year.
It's going to be no change. There may be there may be a few names change. Some people resign. Some people, leave to run for other office. But it's not going to make any difference in the numbers of Republicans and numbers of Democrats. It just may be a slight difference in names, and it's not likely to be at the leadership level.
Correct.
So there.
And the people that are appointed or to take the empty places are the same ilk as the ones who left.
Right.
Yeah.
So we haven't gotten anywhere.
So it seems like just postponing what's going to be happening next year, because they can do this again next year. But and all 4 years that she's in office, if they really, really want to.
Well,
I think that'll begin to hurt them.
The second 4 years, we're going to have a different leadership.
Yeah, that will be different. But next year is the same people, so...
So right. What?
Yeah, having a 2 year long legislative session doesn't really benefit anybody.
Have they been able, Diane? Have they been able to negotiate with the governor? I know that they have, but I mean, they've had some serious negotiations with the governor and made compromises, right?
Well, supposedly on the budget bill, but I certainly don't know any of that. I mean, even the Democrats didn't know much of what was going on during that time.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole process in Arizona, regardless of parties, is pretty much behind closed doors and in the dark.
Right, and you don't know anything until it's over with, when you have no opportunity for input.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of, very little public input on the budget, regardless of, even with a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, there's still DC was governor, there was still the whole process allows very little public input and chance for the public to make any comments. The newer ranking backbench type Republicans can't always comment on a Republican budget.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is a very strange sort of system where it's sort of left up to the governor and the leadership.
Let me ask you, what's your take on the budget?
Well, I can't really answer that because I have not had the time to really study it. So, I mean, I've read things pro and con. I don't have a position at this point because I really haven't myself studied it.
Yeah, I don't think either of us have either.
Studying
the budget is kind of like, something that you put off. And
a lot of it was just the continuation of last year's in a lot of ways. Lots of things didn't have major changes that people would want on either major cuts or major increases. Now, looking at the budget for the following year is going to be very interesting because of expenses that the state's going to have to pay that they didn't. They believed fairy tales about, like the actual cost of universal school vouchers.
Right, exactly.
And issues like that, because they believed a fairy tale as to how many people would apply and what it would cost. And it's turning out it's not a couple $100 million, it's going to be $1 billion.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's massive.
I saw a headline the other day that said alt fuels too.
Yes.
Because if you remember back when we had the alt fuel scandal, they did the same thing. And I thought to myself, why do we never learn anything?
Yeah. Well, our state legislature doesn't do a very good job of listening to their own experts. I mean, they've got a budget committee
right.
that generally is pretty accurate overall. You know, nobody is perfect, but it's generally pretty accurate when they just say this bill is going to cost this much money. And they do a pretty good job of estimating, and then they get ignored.
And they're ignored, right.
Yeah.
They don't listen to them, right. Well, the same thing in the Rules Committee. Their constitutional attorneys tell them, this bill is unconstitutional. Don't pass it. So they go ahead and pass it anyway. And then, of course, they're sued. And then it's all that money expended hiring lawyers, going to court, and then they lose. And all that money comes from the taxpayers.
Yeah, that's
it doesn't come out of their pocket. It comes from the taxpayers. So if they had, you know, paid attention to the experts who were telling them in the first place, don't do this, they wouldn't, you know, they would have saved a lot of taxpayer money. This is not responsible governing. This is not fiscal responsibility at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No.
I mean, they're just wasting the taxpayers' money with this stuff.
Yeah,
they do it for political reasons to coddle their base. And tuck them under the chin.
Well, the longer they sit down there in session, the more of these crazy committee hearings we can have. They either are still having or just had another one about where they just basically allow the members to bring in their own people to testify who are generally conspiracy theorists and people way on the outside. I mean, the one meeting they had like that earlier this year on election things resulted in one of the Republicans getting kicked out.
But you know what I think is so funny about that? As long as her witnesses were trashing the Democrats, nobody said anything. It's when they started trashing the Republicans that then they got concerned.
Yeah, this was this one claiming that the Mexican drug cartels really control both, not just the Democratic governor, but the Republican Speaker of the House and other Republicans.
Yes.
And, you know, all because some guy was trying to beat his wife in a divorce situation. I mean, the whole thing was, it wasn't just a conspiracy theory. It was
a
preposterous conspiracy theory for everybody because it all came out of an argument in a divorce case and then somehow became a national conspiracy theory.
Right.
I mean, it just makes no sense, you know, to have anybody that you think the fact that you could elect anybody who would, you know, would do so little due diligence.
But none of the Republicans objected to it until they started trashing Republicans. And I thought, oh, this is quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
Diane, what's your take on how the governor's doing so far? We have the first Democratic governor in, 12 years? Or I think it is something like that. I haven't checked. I don't have a statistic.
Yeah, 2010?
Yeah. So we have a Democratic governor and they're crying because she's vetoing a lot of things that they pass so that she could veto them and they could complain about them. But how do you think she's doing generally, particularly in dealing with the legislature and legislation?
Well, I mean, I think she's doing all she can do in dealing with them because it's hard to deal with people who believe conspiracy theories. You can't talk sense with them. You can't talk logic and reason and sense and come to solutions with them. So the only thing she can do is veto these bills, and that's what she's doing, and that's just fine. I think that they are trying to make her administration as difficult as possible. So the fact that there have been staff turnovers and there has been uproar and here and that is not surprising. When you have a new administration, you have to start from scratch. And you don't know for sure who's going to be best in which or whatever job. And the other side, of course, is making it as difficult as possible. And the third thing is she is keeping things quite close to her chest. She's not, making things very public. And that may be a good thing or it may not be. She has been doing some international stuff, some commercial stuff as far as, you know, on the border issues with trade and with, other countries with trade to increase the economic prospects for Arizona. The water thing, I think, is a bit of a problem. I mean, it's a huge problem. But, you know, I just read a headline this morning saying Arizonans don't have to cut back their water pursuant to this deal. Well, that is just a stupid thing to say. You know, I mean, I don't know very much about the water deal, but I know it is a big deal, and I think we have to really pay attention to this. But to suggest that we don't have to cut our water is irresponsible as far as I'm concerned. I do think that the concern about the 100 years for development and all of that, I think that is absolutely necessary, and I think she's doing a good job on that.
The allocation drops, Arizona and the other states agreed to drop their usage 13% a year.
Right. Yeah,
so, I mean, that'll have some impact.
Yeah.
Now
it will just make the problem worse if we don't have a sort of a public discussion and campaign on conservation as necessary.
Right.
You know, whether, you know, not, it doesn't mean, you know, turn off your tap and don't water your plants, but that conservation needs people at the corporate level and the personal level need to include that in their long-term plans, is that, you know, we need to reduce, and that's, yeah, you're right, that's not a, you know, not a major, you know, topic from the government necessarily on either side, that they don't want to talk about the potential long-term effects on individual people.
And they have to.
They need to, yeah.
They have to.
I think they decided that 13% is people won't see it. they'll be able to do it, and it won't really impact everybody. And I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 13% is not going to impact whether you get to turn on your faucet and wash your dishes or anything like that. But it's the beginning of it's a good solution.
It needs to change. I mean, there's some development. Out or somewhere around Phoenix, I keep seeing all the commercials on TV.
Yeah,
some brand new development with a huge lake, and they got people fishing and people in little boats, and they're touting the fact that this is a lakeside development. I don't know exactly where it is. I can't remember the name of it. But again, in today, that doesn't make any sense. You know,
right.
They did that 20 years ago, but now it makes no sense to sort of build yourself a great big artificial lake in the desert outside of Phoenix and build homes around it and tout it as lakeside living. If you want lakeside living, you go to the Adirondacks. You know,
yeah.
Go to Arkansas.
Exactly.
You know, go somewhere else. Don't
live in Arkansas's got a lot of water.
Yeah.
I was just there.
Yeah. Yeah, the Thousand Lakes in Minnesota. But don't move to Arizona to get a house on a lake with your own private little dock.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Exactly.
And that's a brand new development.
I know it. I think you're talking about the one in Buckeye.
I can't remember where it was located, but yeah.
They've just been lots of
ads on television. You know.
I understand that, you know, people are saying, yes, conservation can make up to 13%, and also paying farmers not to plant can make up to 13%. It is still irresponsible not to start educating the people that they're going to have to cut down on their water use and be more responsible about it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. They'll delay it as long as possible and make it as the problem with making it so that it doesn't impact the public is that you can't deal with it as quickly and as efficiently.
And that means
if you're trying to hide the fact that you're cutting
And that means at some point you reach a point where someone has to legislate and say, okay, you cannot turn your hose on between the hours of whereas you educate people so they cut back themselves and you know, the things that Las Vegas does, don't plant grass, you know, don't build, you know, if you are Pulte Homes or whatever that was, you don't build a brand new development that requires digging and filling a lake.
Your
big development like that, you know, that if you want a golf course on your brand new development, it's a desert golf course. It's not one that looks like it's in Florida. Yeah. But those are all things that individual people and companies can do to avoid somebody setting a mandatory water usage standard for either industry or public coming down the line. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
If they don't want rules, and rules always have a downside as well as a positive side, then do it voluntarily and do it so it makes sense.
Right, and that is the problem of continually kicking the can down the road, is that when you get to the end of that road, it's not voluntary anymore.
Yeah.
And we seem to have over in legislative history in Arizona for years and years, we seem to elect legislators sometimes of both parties, but legislators who are willing rather than make the hard decisions that they should as being our elected officials. They would rather either create a study committee and let next legislature make the decisions, or they send something out to the public, and the public isn't always necessarily well educated to make a decision on a referendum.
Well, and this is like that Rio Verde problem that we have this year.
Yes.
Those people knew for 10 years. 10 years they knew that they had to find their own water supply and do something other than what they were doing. And they didn't take action.
Yeah, it works at both the small local level and the bigger level.
Right.
But
it got to a crisis, and then suddenly they're blaming Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Well, they knew for 10 years.
Yeah, and then we do for great things. The legislature does a good job at studying things and then doing nothing about it.
Exactly.
Most of our municipalities do a good job of studying things and doing nothing about it.
It's hard for politicians to take unpopular positions.
Yeah, they're afraid. They want to be sure they get reelected.
Well, they get beat up. I mean, if you look at the local level here, Diane, and we're fairly civilized, huh? If you make a decision that certain people don't like, they spend hours beating up on you on Nextdoor or in person or something, and they do really nasty stuff.
But that's what you run for office, to make decisions, whether it's city council, school board, legislature, governor. You know, if you're afraid to accept the consequences of a decision, or to say, oh, that was a bad decision, we need to do something different, you really shouldn't be running for office.
But
we don't, seem to hold, our office holders accountable that way.
Yeah. However, it has gotten much worse, in that it's become more violent, it's become more virulent with social media, how you are trashed everywhere, and it has become more violent. I mean, Bill Gates is not running for office again. He said he suffered from PTSD.
Yeah, that's the chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors,
because of all the harassment that people gave him when he said the election was not rigged, which it was not. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, and he's a Republican, he was so harassed and threatened, and with guns and everything else, that he got PTSD, and he's not running again. He said he's just not doing it.
And we heard that since 2020 among our Yavapai County Recorder, long-term Republican, 20-odd years of experience in elections, at the elected level in Yavapai County, which is 50-plus 60% Republican, and turns out strong for Republicans. And she resigned because of the some of the people who, because she would not say things were rigged, and she was saying, how can you say they're rigged? All your Republican candidates won. What did they get?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
What's your problem? Maricopa County, a little bit different, because Democrats did win in a different way. But that's, blame the internet has made that easier, and then that's also, Donald Trump, who made it okay to say all those nasty things about other people out front and attach your name to it with no consequences.
Well, the other thing, everybody has decided they're a big expert. They're complaining about the way ADOT is doing the roads up here, 179. Are they engineering experts on roads? I mean, it is a complicated thing. I had a friend who spent his whole life as a geologist designing where roads go and how much you have to do. It's not something that, you can really do just off the top of your head. But people decide that they're the expert on asphalt. They know all about it.
Well, that's part of the local specific level of thing that's run through. I think the Republican Party, one of the Democrats, for years is a distrust of the elites, the distrust of the professional with the letters after his name that says he's the PhD in engineering. He's got a PhD in educational leadership. These people who spent their lives thinking about these issues and working on them and actually doing them hands on, that experts are somehow to be avoided, and that it's this.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, it's
19th century
sort of thing.
Party,
yeah.
The Know Nothing Party. That's sort of the way the Republican Party in particular has sort of felt, that if you spent your life studying this issue, you somehow don't have a real grasp of it, where the person who knows nothing about it has the real answer.
Right.
Diane, what's your take on where the Republicans are going now here in Arizona? Do you have a quick take on it? Do you have a sense of what's happening in the Republican Party, or are you involved in other issues?
Well, I'm certainly not involved in the Republican Party, and I don't have any inside intelligence, that is for certain. But I have seen no signs that they are going to change course. There have been some Republicans who have tried. I mean, more moderate things is the mayor of Mesa, the Flake, and other kinds of people who have tried to tack to the more moderate course, and they have been overtaken, basically. And so I don't see any moves on their part that show me anything different. Some a couple of years ago, I went to a my first and last. No, I went to two actually. When I was doing the speaking against the for-profit prisons, you remember that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I spoke at two different Republican LDs, and they are certainly run very differently than the Democratic LDs that I've been to. But it was interesting, at one of them, the after I spoke against the for-profits, one of the guys got up and said, you know, she's 100% right. We should not be subsidizing corporations. You know, they should be paying their own way and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was surprised, and I thought, well, no, it actually makes sense. You know, from their position, they should not be subsidizing corporations. But that attitude does not seem to be there anymore.
So the Republicans are shutting down in some ways to kind of compromises and different ideas.
Well, it's also they're no longer the party of make government so small you can drown it in the bathtub.
Right.
You know, they've become the party of big government. Like I said, if you think things should be privatized, they should be privatized. They shouldn't be. Yeah. You shouldn't
well,
take. You, then it shouldn't be government run and the same
well,
things.
Well, their focus. Yeah. There was a good editorial, and I don't remember who it was by, that said essentially they're not really interested in the old Republican idea, which is a small government, and what they're really interested in, and what they really are focused on the culture war issues.
Right.
Yeah, and that's their focus, and so they don't really have. You know, when it came to cutting a deal on the deficit cap, they didn't really have all that much. And they weren't emotionally involved in that part of the governmental thing. They really wanted to get out and fight about, you know, church and state issues or whatever.
Schools.
School.
Curriculum, yeah.
Yeah. They weren't really interested in, they stand for the old Republican ideas, but they're not really, that's not their focus anymore.
The question is, why is that their focus? Do they really believe it, or is it just a method of what they think will get them elected?
Well, we know a lot of those social issue things are constructed by, you know, by educated Republican elites in their ivory tower think tanks who say, oh, this is an issue that we can use to, you know, to get the base riled up.
Exactly.
That's the issue of critical race theories in school
right.
was created not by an angry parent, but by somebody in a think tank. The
right.
other issue, which we had when we had Martin Quezada on before the election, on the attack on what's it, ESG, the environmental, social, and governance goals within
yeah.
organizations,
yes.
that organizations and private corporations should think about the aspects of
yes.
of that. And the attack that is woke and that's somehow dang,
right.
that again was created by
by
Republicans with PhDs and sitting in think tanks. They're not grassroots. Fears until the right wing media turns
Nor
them into a grassroots fear.
Are they principles of the party?
Yeah,
you know they used to be for the ERA until they thought being against it would help them get elected.
Yeah,
they used to be for abortion before they thought being against it would get them elected. So it's not a principled stand.
And in looking here in Arizona, they used to really be for the idea that government should be at your lowest level.
Yes.
That your school board, the fire board, the city council, the county commissioners, county supervisors should be where the decisions are made.
Yes.
You know, and that's gone by the wayside because they want to dictate.
And now they're making all kinds of laws to prohibit
yes.
the lower government from making laws.
Yes.
yes.
And
they
also,
crippling lower
Republicans
government.
In Arizona were the ones that wanted mail-in ballots.
Yes.
Remember, they're the ones that started it.
Yeah, they thought that would increase their turnout.
Correct. And now they don't want it.
Because it's turned out, it increased their turnout, but it increased everybody else's turnout too.
Yes.
And as the demographics shift in Arizona, and you got a electorate that becomes, you know, more
yes.
Hispanic, more Native American, and younger, and changes over time, that you know, that's not. It turned out that people who Republicans don't like want to go out and vote too.
Right.
Yeah, I think having a governor is a great thing because you look at the legislation recently in Texas, where they basically wrote legislation taking away power of the large – in Texas, is almost entirely Republican except for Houston and Dallas,
Austin.
And Austin and the big cities. And they wrote legislation that crippled their ability to run their own elections and stuff.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing they Republicans can't do in Arizona because we have a Democratic governor.
Well, they've tried, and the bills have been vetoed.
Yes. Yeah. And then they've tried, and I don't know if any of them – I know there were so many bills this session where they were talking about all those things that the governor is going to veto. They have pushing them out as referendums to make people vote on them in 2024. We'll have to see what really happens with some of those things. But that was their second thing.
Strategy,
But, of course, I think the electorate's not quite as stupid as some Republicans think. And when you ask the electorate to make it harder for them to go and vote, they're probably going to say no. When you ask the electorate to vote on something that takes away a right they have now, they tend to say, no, don't take it away. Whether or not I'm using it, I'm not going to let you take it away.
However, they did do exactly that last time.
Yeah. But
when they increased that you have to pass these things by 60%.
Yeah, but
that was a very stupid, stupid thing to do, but people voted for it.
Well, we've voted on some stupid things that people never thought about, the ramifications in small ways, and we're still dealing with the ramifications of that English-only bill from the early 2000s, because has ongoing issues that are in it, that are, you know, hurting education in Arizona when you're trying to teach children who don't speak English when they walk in the door. It's made you.
Yes, that's important. And it's also important that.
That was not the point of that bill, but that's.
Yeah. The one they got through really was people really didn't understand what increasing it to 60% was.
Yes.
And so they, with the lack of knowledge about the issue, let the people who had the most money on one side get. Dominate the whole discussion.
But they always have the most money.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Well, you can see that in the ongoing legal fight over the outlaw dirty money bill was.
Yes.
I've forgotten the proposition number at the moment, but that's still in court, and the people fighting against implementing that. And of course, all that did was
we just won again.
Yeah, but all that bill did was require a small, very small number of very large donors. Because they contribute to certain kinds of things, would have to make their donations public. It didn't stop anybody, didn't stop a billionaire from spending $1 billion.
Right.
It just said if you contribute onto these kinds of things, you're going to have to admit that that's your money that bought those signs. And it was a tiny first step that wasn't going to make
extraordinarily moderate.
Really make a major decision in who funds on special interest funding of elections. But the people who are fighting in court are the exact same people you would expect. The people who, organize those great big donors to come and donate in the dark.
Yeah.
Diane, what do you see as the most important thing? We're going to run out of time shortly. The most important thing that voters and people who are active in, say, Democratic politics should focus on locally, statewide, upcoming.
School boards.
Okay.
And look at the nightmare going on at the school boards.
Yeah, this all, yeah.
And another suggestion is get on your public library board.
Yeah.
See if your public library board has any vacancies and get on it so that they don't.
Yeah, because my stepson lives up in Idaho, and they're in Coeur d'Alene, and they just had their public library board taken over by people who want to ban books.
Right, and you have to we have to get in there, and we have to get in there right now.
And they designated a woman who had won the sort of key to the city of Coeur d'Alene, one of those people who got an award from the city for decades of public service. She was the chairman of the state college board, all kinds of boards, commissions, nonprofits. She donated money. She was, a really public-spirited citizen. And she lost re-election to the library board because they designated her as somebody who wanted to have pornography in the children's section.
Right. And this kind of nonsense spreads, and I don't understand how people fall for it. How do you think that that's really going on? I mean,
it's just ideology because, I mean, if people think for a second, the amount of porn that's available on the Internet is astonishing. You're not going to be able to keep young people.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can delay it, but you're not going to be able to keep them from seeing pornography. It's just everywhere.
Right, it is.
And the school going in and getting a book that has a sex scene in it and trying to ban it.
Well,
at this point is just utterly, completely absurd if you think about the actual. That will have no effect on anything.
Well, but that's the public face because people understand that and people get angry if they think it's true.
Yeah.
So what the real result is that you take out of that school library or public library every book that features an LGBT character in a positive role.
Right.
And you take out of that thing people's picturing whatever other ethnic group is not the majority in your town out of the library.
Yep.
So anybody and who doesn't fit into whatever the majority is doesn't see themselves, and that's what really happens on all these things.
And that's where we were back in the 50s, and that's where they want to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. They want to go back to the 50s before all those changes in America.
Yeah. It's like I was listening to. Well, it was one of your guests on one of the recent Secular Coalition Friday talks.
Yeah.
Trans woman, whose name I forget, and they want to go back to the idea that if you are a child or a teenager and you feel that you're something different, whether it's your sexuality, your gender, or your skin color, and if you never see anybody that looks like you or thinks like you in a book, then it will never exist. And if we don't talk about these issues, that means nobody. There are no people like that.
Yeah.
Right.
If children don't learn about other, the backgrounds of other, then they can ignore them. If you don't learn about the true history of the U.S., about Native Americans and black people, then you don't have to acknowledge that there may be still racial issues. If you don't learn about people with other gender, sexuality difference, then you can pretend they don't exist.
And speaking of black people, I represent the historic black town of Randolph against Salt River Project.
Mm-hmm.
And in a recent pleading that I got, they actually called the people living in Randolph special interest.
Randolph, explain to folks what Randolph is.
A special interest group that happens to be living within a stone's throw of your plant, who are trying to save their lives, their health, and their community. And you call them a special interest.
This was this small little town that historically has been a black area. So, but you're basically calling black Americans a special interest group.
Right. Yeah. And I just read that and went, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Well, we got to wrap it up, Diane. Good talking to you again. And thanks for being on the show.
You bet.
And keep up the good work. We didn't get a chance to talk about all the legal work you're doing for various nonprofits.
Well, we'll get you on again at some point, and maybe next time we can combine it with in person, and we can get you up here to do some other things as well.
All right.
And speak in person to more of us, So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for supporting us. We appreciate their support. It's very helpful. Do they have anything coming up?
I don't have it, but we do have the third Friday of each month. The Democrats have a breakfast the first Thursday of each month, and there's an evening meeting in Verde Valley, the Verde Valley Dems. Both of those, if you look on their Facebook or website pages, you can find out what the speakers are for the upcoming events.
The best thing is to check their web pages, which are very good. They also have newsletters that you can subscribe to that really will tell you what's going on.
Yeah. The Yavapai County Democratic Party is having a picnic in Prescott on the 11th. It may be sold out. You'd have to check on that because they have some limited space for that. But they've got a really great newsletter. Also, all the indivisible groups have great newsletters for upcoming events.
Thank you for being with us, folks. Check out our website, vvid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.